Father, thank you for this day and the time we have to spend in your word. And I pray that your word would speak to us, that we would take this information and apply it to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Question. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. What is it? The fruit of the Spirit is the result of the Holy Spirit's presence in the life of the follower of Christ. Recognize the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a who. So how do we attain this Holy Spirit? The Bible makes it clear that everyone receives the Holy Spirit the moment he or she believes in Jesus Christ. In Romans 8:9, we read, "You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. This is the truth of God's Word. Ephesians 1:13 and 14, it says, "Because of what Christ did, all you others too, who heard the good news about how to be saved and trusted in Christ, were marked as belonging to Christ by the Holy Spirit, who long ago had been promised to all of us Christians. His presence within us is God's guarantee that he really will give us all that he promised. And the Spirit's seal upon us means that God has already purchased us and that he guarantees to bring us to himself. This is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God." The primary purpose of the Holy Spirit coming into our life is to bring about change. It is the Holy Spirit's job to conform us to the image of Christ, making us more like him. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is in direct contrast with the acts of the sinful nature. Galatians 5:19 through 21 describes the sin nature in great detail. We read, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." This passage speaks of all people to varying degrees when they do not know Christ and choose to live life other than under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Our sinful flesh produces certain types of fruit that reflect our nature, and the Holy Spirit produces types of fruit that reflect his nature. The Christian life is a battle of the sinful flesh against the new nature given by Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." As fallen human beings, we're still wrapped in a body that desires sinful things. In Romans 7:14 through 25, Paul explains, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, that thing we're wrapped in, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Herein lies our joy. As followers of Christ, we have the Holy Spirit producing His fruit in us. And we have the Holy Spirit's power available to conquer the acts of the sinful nature. Listen again to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, because of this, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. It's here. Philippians 4:13 reminds us we can do all things through Him who gives us strength. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We need to own this verse. For the true follower of Christ, we struggle to live a victorious Christian life. We are to be in all ways demonstrating the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is not an easy task. We are to progressively allow the Holy Spirit to produce more and more of His fruit in our lives, and to allow the Holy Spirit to conquer the opposing sinful desires of our flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is what God desires our lives to exhibit. And with the Holy Spirit's help, this is possible. The fruit is the byproduct of the Holy Spirit revealing His character into our hearts and lives. Galatians 5:22-23 describe what that fruit looks like. The second characteristic listed is joy. Joy is the natural reaction to the work of God. Whether promised or fulfilled, joy expresses God's kingdom and His influence on earth through our actions. The Spirit's production of joy can be seen in several different ways. 1 Samuel 2:1 speaks of the joy of deliverance. When God sets someone free, rejoicing is in order. Listen to Hannah's prayer. My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because You rescued me. Hannah was filled with joy at her deliverance from her enemies. Not now, but this afternoon, take some time to read her testimony in 1 Samuel 2:2-11. Acts 12:14 tells of a surreal experience of a servant girl. We read, when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it, and she exclaimed, Peter's at the door! This servant girl was so overjoyed that God had rescued Peter from prison that she forgot to let him into the house. Have you ever been so overjoyed? Would you agree? Our greatest reason to be full of joy is that God wants to save us and spend eternity with us. Nothing is better than the joy of salvation. Consider this parable found in Luke 15:4-7. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Get this, all the inhabitants of heaven are joyful when a person comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and accepts God's provision of salvation. We also see the Spirit's production of joy in spiritual maturity. As the Holy Spirit works in us to bear more fruit, we become confident in God's promises and rejoice in our walk with Him. The fullness of joy comes to those who seek Him and continue in the love of Christ and obey Him. Jesus said in John 15:11, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:21-24, "It is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit into our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I call God as my witness and stake my life on it that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, because it is by faith you stand firm." When you continue to read Paul's letters, you find in 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glorious joy." And then in 1 Thessalonians 3:8-10, he says, "For now we really live. Since you're standing firm in the Lord, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith." Paul experienced joy as the churches gave evidence of the Holy Spirit working among them. As professing Christians, church, is the joy of our salvation evident to the people around us? Philippians 2:1-2 tells us, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind." Listen, groups of believers who unite in demonstrating the mind, love, and purpose of Christ bring joy to others. We read in Hebrews 10:32-35, "Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in great conflict full of suffering? Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted their confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." And we're talking unending joy. Hebrews 12:1-3 encourages us to run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. "For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." We're told in James 1:2-4 to consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Believers following the example of Jesus endure persecution because of the promise of the future joy. And then there's the joy of being in the presence of God. The Holy Spirit draws us to God. It is in His presence that we can know true joy. Understand that without the Holy Spirit, listen, without the Holy Spirit, no one would seek God. God is pursuing us. And when we respond to His call on our lives, we seek Him with all of our heart. David says in Psalm 16:11, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand." The next step is to allow our joy to become an action. 1 Peter 1:3 through 9 reminds us we have something to rejoice about. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This step is up to you. Possessing joy is a choice. We choose whether to value God's presence, promise, and work in our lives. When we yield to the Spirit, He opens our eyes to God's grace around us and fills us with joy. Listen to the truth of 1 John 1, verse 4, and follow. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie. And we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in you. This is a charge from Romans 15:13. It's for you this morning. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy, the Bible talks about, is not to be found in a fallen world. It is only fellowship with God that can make your joy complete. The choice is up to you. God, I ask that your Spirit would indwell us and that we would make the right choice and that you would lead us and we would follow in the direction you would have us go. Today, tomorrow, or until you call us home or come again, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.